Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Mart, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome into the Baseball Reporters. Jim Murray and Matt McCarthy in for the continuing vacation. Tony Maserati here on 98.5, The Sports Hub. Let's get it out of the way just right off the top here. I don't care about this series with the Orioles. You don't care about this series with the Orioles, and nor should you. If you'd like to discuss bigger picture, whether or not you think that the Red Sox are back after they take 2 out of 3 from the Cleveland Indians, we will certainly entertain those phone calls at 617-779-0985. It would certainly help if they swept the lowly Orioles this weekend and then maybe got a little bit more hot there. Maybe you'll start to believe. But in terms of the X's and O's and breaking down Red Sox Orioles, not going to happen. Oh, my God. You got Rick Porcello on the mound tonight. I wouldn't be shocked if he ended up giving up 8 runs and they lose this game. And that's all we're really going to say about the Orioles series. Are you good with that, McCarthy?
I'm more than good with that. In fact, I think we've spent more time on it than we should have.
Agreed. So we will focus on bigger picture items for your Boston Red Sox. And McCarthy, you and I haven't worked since the beginning of the week on this show. It's been Marshall Hook and I the last couple of nights. And I've already said my piece about this, but I do find it interesting because it reminds me of, well, old school Red Sox behavior. It was a little item that was dropped in Peter Gammons, a longtime baseball scribe, Peter Gammons, who now works for The Athletic. And frankly, I didn't even know that until I saw people talking about this the other day.
You and me both.
But he works for The Athletic and feels like he might be carrying the water for the Boston Red Sox a little bit. I refer to it as Red Sox Media Manipulation 101. For those that don't know what we're talking about, please reset this and give us your thoughts right off the top here, McCarthy.
All right, so Gammons wrote in The Athletic this week, quote, "If Mookie Betts wants to stay in Boston, we'll pay him," said one Red Sox official. "We want him to be the face of the franchise, but it's hard to know. He has rejected our outreach in the past." To which I say, what outreach? When have you ever legitimately tried to sign this guy? This comment is so disingenuous. I mean, it's not even funny, really, because you offered him, the Red Sox, you offered him 5 for $100 coming off his near MVP season in 2016. Beginning of 2017, that's what they reportedly put on the table. For what, a then 24-year-old player who's looking at $300+ million on the open market a few years later? You then haggled with him, took him to arbitration, for the love of God, over $3 million. You took that guy to arbitration over $3 million. Like, how cheap are you going to be with this player? So when you say that, well, we've reached out to him, we've tried to sign him, technically you're right, I guess, but you knew those contracts. Why the hell would Mookie Betts take those contracts? So you have never once approached him with a legitimate fair market value or close to it offer. So to say that we've tried to sign him and he's rejected our outreach is so disingenuous. Yeah, he's rejected it. Of course he's rejected it. Why would he take the offers that you were putting on the table? I don't know if Mookie Betts wants to be here, Jim. I think that's a fair and legitimate question. We know he's close to David Price. He hasn't exactly been effusive in his praise for Boston. But it takes two sides to get a deal done, and the Red Sox acting like that, you know, he's the side of the deal that's not making it work, they haven't done their part either.
Yeah, this thing was rich. So I've definitely turned on how I feel about Mookie Betts just in this season. You know, after Mike Trout made his ridiculous, what was that, $425 million deal that he signed with the Angels, I was like, okay, well, Betts coming off the MVP season. He should have won one before back in 16. You can make that argument. I know Marshall Hook feels strongly about that. So it's like, you know what, he shouldn't get Trout money, but it should be close. Well, you hear the reports it was, what, 8 years, $200 million that he was offered.
Sure.
That's not even close to what Manny Machado ends up getting from San Diego. It's not close to what Bryce Harper ended up getting from Philadelphia. So you lowballed him. You've lowballed him, as you said, at every step of the way. We see the Red Sox act like this before. This is really, I mean, it's not as harsh as how they ended up having a hit piece on Terry Francona at the end with Bob Holler, but they have the media do their bidding. They're getting out ahead of this already. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, I'm not one of them, but I can understand while some Red Sox fans will look at this and say, wait a minute, he's 2 years removed or a year removed from an MVP season. You're going to trade Mookie Betts? You can't do this. There is going to be a segment of the Red Sox fan base that I understand are going to freak out when they trade him. They're going to trade him. They're getting ahead of this already, before this season's already over, telling you, hey, man, don't look at us. Like, we've gone to him, and we want him to be the face of the franchise, but, hey, our hands are tied. What do you want us to do?
It's so disingenuous. And the problem
is... Oh, it's a crock.
It is. And they pander. There is a segment of the fan base that will feel that way, Jim. But do you feel like the majority of Red Sox fans out there feel that way? I mean, this is a smart baseball town. Red Sox fans know the sport. They know the game.
Feel what? That they're going to be pissed that they trade him, or that they're being manipulated?
Oh, well, I mean, I think most Red Sox fans look at that, and I think they're smart enough to say, no, you're manipulating us. But, you know, to the the part of the fan base that they are pandering to, it's like, well, we tried. You need to stop pandering to that particular segment of Red Sox fans, because Red Sox fans are too smart, and they understand that if you trade Mookie Betts, it's because you don't want to pay him $350 million. You can get top prospects in return. I think you can sell Red Sox fans on that. Have you heard from a large portion of Sox fans this year, Jim, who have called in and said, you can't trade Mookie Betts. It'd be unacceptable if you traded Mookie Betts. Quite to the contrary, I feel like we're getting a lot of calls saying, hey, great player, spectacular player, but I don't want to pay him $350 million and restock the farm system. Like, I feel like we've gotten a lot of those calls.
Yeah, I think the savvier fans, I think, are listening to sports radio or just, sure, you know, because they want to, you know, listen to the ins and outs and the day-to-day of what's going on with their teams, no matter what teams we're talking about. But I think the casual fans, because he's so, I guess, marketable and he's got the million-dollar smile, and again, MVP is a marketable player, like, I think if you don't really pay attention, and I don't know, like if your mom's kind of been a Red Sox fan but doesn't pay attention to the day-to-day, she'll hear this and be like, what? How can you trade Mookie Betts? It's those people, and I'm with you on this. Yeah. They shouldn't cater those fans.
No, they shouldn't. I mean, and here's the thing. When you start...
They're right to move on from him. They are.
Sure.
But just don't spin it and be disingenuous about it.
Right, exactly. Say, you know what? Hey, he's a fantastic ball player, but we don't feel that anybody's worth $350 million. And our farm system's in rough shape, and we can't develop pitching, and, you know, we need to, you know, go out and trade Mookie Betts for three top 100 prospects. Red Sox fans will understand that. Red Sox fans know the game. So I just have a real problem with them trying to spin it this way. It's like, come on, guys. Like, really, we know what you're doing here. You can't fool us.
Do you agree that one of the reasons they may look at him as expendable, or why they don't want to make that kind of investment with him, is the way that Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers have become, at least in this season? It looks like there's going to be some sustainability there, especially with Bogaerts, because he had a great season last year. They're now the foundational pieces for this team going forward.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I think they are the core of your team moving forward for the next 5 to 10 years, theoretically. You know, let's not forget that Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers were more highly touted than Mookie Betts coming up through the farm system. Not that that means that there are better players than Mookie Betts now. I mean, Betts has won an MVP. He should have won a second. Like, I'm not trying to say that, but Bogaerts and Devers have become everything the Red Sox ever could have wanted. And they are the foundational pieces. That was the plan all along. And that plan has come to fruition. So yeah, I mean, I think Mookie Betts does become a little bit more expendable as a result. And, you know, let's not forget the Red Sox have developed a million position players. They'll be able to find an outfielder. Maybe you won't find an MVP level outfielder. They could develop one. They could go out and sign one. You got to get pitching in return. You got to improve this pitching staff somehow, and you don't have anybody in the farm system who can do it. Savvy Red Sox fans understand that if you trade Mookie Betts, you need to get pitching for him.
Dan and Whitman, your thoughts on this. Go ahead.
Hey guys, I love your show. Jim, you are the backbone of every show. Don't listen to Felger and Maz. You're the man.
Thank you. Go ahead.
And listen, just on Mookie, I don't think anybody's worth. I don't think Trout's worth the money that he got. But Mookie is not in his class. Mookie is not in Harper's class, and Mookie is not in Machado's class. He's a great player. Don't think he's worth the money. I don't know if he really wants to be here or not, but that's way too much money. And if one thing proved out in this year's Fox season, we need pitching. I mean, Sale, who knows what he's going to do? Price, who knows what he's going to do? If they get rid of both of them, it wouldn't faze me in the least. And that's about it. Listen, you guys do a great job, and I thank you for all you do.
Thanks, Dan. And one of the teams that's been floated, at least from John Morosi, MLB Network, when he reported, I think it was this time last week, saying that he's talked to MLB executives, not with the Red Sox, but MLB executives, saying the Red Sox will take calls on Betts this offseason, and it's the Atlanta Braves, who, and I remember you were saying, yeah, they are pitching rich. They have a lot of young prospects, so that would be a good fit. And it would be a good fit for Betts in terms of proximity. It's close to Tennessee, where he grew up. And having worked there, I can tell you it's a market where people kind of don't care. So you're not going to have the spotlight on you and have to feel that added pressure of playing in a market like Boston.
As Baseball America describes the Braves system, their remaining pitching prospects are the envy of baseball. So there you go. I mean, there's a fit right there. The Braves, the White Sox, the Dodgers. Those would be the three teams that I'd be looking at if I'm the Red Sox to try and trade Mookie Betts to.
All right, you want to talk about this? The Red Sox media manipulation. See, it's just like old school Sox behavior right here. And Mookie Betts and how they're... you wait for it. Hey, don't look at us. We had to trade him. Our hands were tied. You want to talk about that? 617-779-0985. McCarthy, again, I haven't worked this show with you for a few days. I want to get your thoughts on how they've handled Nathan Eovaldi, how they may handle Nathan Eovaldi this weekend, and if they found their closer in Andrew Cashner. We'll get to that here on the Baseball Reporters this evening.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We'll be tempted to go with the full man rotation.
I'll be tempted to whatever works, you know. If you have any ideas, you know, that how to turn this around and get going, I'll use it, yeah. But we got like I said, the next 3 days are important. We got Monday off. And Thursday is a little bit different because of that game. And then the National League game comes into play. You got three and we got five on the road with the pitcher hitting. So that might help us in a sense.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora asking the gathered media before tonight's game against Baltimore Orioles, any suggestions on how to turn this thing around? I don't know. I'm all ears. It would help if you could sweep the lowly Orioles starting tonight as Baltimore's in town for three. And then, as you said, they're off Monday, got a couple against the Philadelphia Phillies, and then on the road for some National League games, San Diego and Colorado. They take two out of three against the Cleveland Indians the other day. It's Jim Murray and Matt McCarthy in for Tony Mazz here in the Baseball Reporters tonight on the Sports Hub. So I ask you, McCarthy, hey, Cleveland, they have been one of the hottest teams in baseball over the last month or so. That's like them and the Mets. Dodgers, obviously, like the iron of the baseball we get. But those two teams were red hot. So do you take anything out of that, my friend? Do you feel like, hey, don't let them get hot? Maybe they found themselves after all this time?
No. Do you want me to expound on that?
Please, yes.
No, because every single time this Red Sox team kind of makes you believe and they make you want to buy back in, and they have a nice series against a good team, and they've had those series.
Tampa and New York back-to-back.
Minnesota on the road. Hell, earlier this year when they went down to Tampa in April and it was the weekend Chavis came up and they swept the Rays, they're like, all right, now they're going to kick it into high gear. Yeah, every single time they do that, then they have some awful series against some crap bag team and we're just back to where they were. Eventually, this is who you are. It's the middle of August. You're 7.5 games behind the Tampa Bay Rays for the second wild card spot, the team with the lowest payroll in baseball. You're trailing the Oakland A's, the team with the 25th lowest payroll in baseball. So, like, eventually, this is who you are. Like, why am I supposed to buy in now when you have a nice series against the Indians where you grinded a couple games out and you found a way to get a win and, you know, you, all right, you won a getaway game on Wednesday. Like, whatever, really, because would you be shocked at all if they lost 2 out of 3 to the Orioles this weekend? I wouldn't.
I would not, no. And they have not been very good at home. I'm trying to pull up the stat that I had the other day. But
they only have 5 series wins at home this year. Is that what you were saying, out of 20? 5 out of 20?
Yes.
Just horrendous.
Since April 16th, Red Sox home series record this season. Out of 20 series, they have 5 wins. Oh. They've lost 7 of them, and they've tied 8 of them, including the last series they had at home against the Angels, a 4-gamer. You should not be tying a 4-game series with the Angels, who stink.
No. I mean, that Angels series was another perfect encapsulation of who the Red Sox are. They just knocked the tar out of the ball for the first 2 nights, and then they just get their asses kicked all weekend long. It's like, well, yeah, and Rick Porcello is a big part of that, and he goes tonight. Momentum's only as good as your next day's starting pitcher, right? Rick Porcello has blown this year. He's been awful. I think out of all qualifiers in the American League, or maybe even in baseball, and I'll double-check this, the worst ERA of them all. Like, Rick Porcello has been statistically the worst pitcher in baseball this year. He's on the mound tonight, so why should you feel good about that?
Well, maybe you feel good about how the bullpen performed in those last 2 games against Cleveland. And this is where it's like, don't fool yourself. Unless you have to be an absolute lunatic to look at this and say, like, oh, well, this is the answer. No, they're playing a shell game right now. Because going into the day game that wrapped up that series in Cleveland, before that, you had Alex Cora saying, well, you know, we're going to have Nathan Eovaldi start that game tomorrow. He's going to be our opener. Unless we have to use him tonight. And guess what? They had him use him that night in that second game of that series. So you don't see Eovaldi until later in that game in the afternoon. And now what the hell's the plan for the weekend? He's supposed to start again on Sunday, from what I understand. But that may not happen because you might have to use him again on Saturday.
Right. So the plan is, if they don't use him tonight, he's going to open or start, or whatever you want to call it, on Sunday, assuming they don't change their minds and need him tomorrow night. Like, it's just, what are we doing with this guy? This $17 million per year investment, who's been nothing but a starting pitcher in his entire career. He's got 3 elbow surgeries on his track record. Now we're just dinking him around. It's like, all right, you're going to be in the bullpen tonight. Well, maybe you'll start tomorrow. Like, how is this fair to him? How is it fair to anybody else, really? It's just, it's such just a half-baked plan. It really is.
And it's not a plan. It's not a plan at all. They're just trying to figure it out on the fly. It's more evident than ever. And the other thing that they've now done here, that they've tried to figure out on the fly, is the closer situation. They have Andrew Kashner stashed out there because he's sucked so bad and had 1 win since they traded for him against the Yankees, believe it or not. But he goes out there and he ends up closing out that second game against Cleveland. They use him again in that third game, so you think he might be the answer? I don't know. Like, as the crazier things have happened, could Kashner at least flourish, you think, at the back end of that bullpen?
No. Do you want me to expound on that?
Please.
No. What more do you want me to say? Yeah. It's Andrew Kashner, the living embodiment of everything that's been wrong with the 2019 Red Sox. This guy cares so little that if the New York Yankees traded for him, and, you know, a World Series contender,
he'd quit baseball.
He would quit playing a child's game that he is paid handsomely to play every 5 days because they would make him shave his beard. Is this fat slob not the living embodiment of everything that is wrong with the 2019 Red Sox? You ultimately don't care in the end. You're fat and you're out of shape like Steve Pierce, the World Series MVP, and more news on him today. He's probably not coming back this year. Like, he is the perfect encapsulation of everything this Red Sox team has been. You suck, you're disappointing, and ultimately you don't care and you're fat and out of shape. Like, Andrew Kashner, everybody. And by the way, not the answer in the bullpen either, and we've gone through how many guys who have been not the answer in that bullpen.
Yeah, I think you'll agree with me on this too, Matt. Like, the other reason that those 2 wins against Cleveland were kind of fool's gold, the second game, and you and I were like texting back and forth at the time, the Indians blew because Francisco Lindor is an idiot and tried to steal 3rd in the 8th inning when they had a rally going, and he gets picked off, kills that rally, and they're out of that inning, and that screwed that whole game up for them. And then you have Jackie Bradley Jr. hit that home run at the top of the 9th, and that was that. Mm-hmm. So the Red Sox essentially like get a fake win that night. And the following day, did Cleveland look like a team that was engaged?
No.
They were looking ahead to their series with the Yankees. Did you see the box score from that game last night?
Yeah, it was 4-gamer.
Solid. Yeah. They're putting up double digits against New York in New York. They were looking ahead. So don't read too much into these 2 wins against
Cleveland. Actually, they had Puig take the suspension for the Red Sox series. Puig's been a big game changer there since he arrived in the Bauer trade. They said, why don't you sit these games out from the fights that you had, the fight you had with the Reds, and we'll get you back from New York.
Let's go to John in Winthrop. You're next up here on the Baseball Report. Hey, John.
Good evening, fellas.
Hello.
Good evening, fellas.
Yes, hi, John.
Hi.
When July, late July and August is the time you spin your rotation and you can get back into the race if you have a good starting rotation. Well, every time they have a series, they'll win some and then they go back to some of the starters that aren't healthy and can win.
All right, John, I'm going to let you go on that. It really
good stuff.
Really is it's just beyond perfect that when we talk baseball, these are the calls we get.
These are my people, Jim.
Yeah, it's
this is my target audience. And by the way, tune into Hardcore Baseball on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Have your grandkids teach you how to download the app.
How do I find that there? It's an app? You mean like an appetizer? I like a Clams Casino. I used to like getting that at the Hilltop.
PF4.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Henry, in a place I was recently vacationing in, Alabama. You're next here on the Baseball Reporters. Hey, Henry.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up?
The worst part about this is how you wasted this season completely, if you're the Red Sox. Like, when it started going down, you could have traded Betts. You could have got something in return to help next year.
Henry, I'm going to put you on hold. Apparently, we have breaking news.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Adam Schefter, ESPN, blue check mark. 1 minute ago on Twitter, the NFL is reinstating Patriots wide receiver Josh Gordon. League source tells ESPN.
Oh, well.
A major development for the Patriots wide receiver.
Yeah, especially with the way that Tom Brady was talking about his wide receiver core this week at the joint practices with the Tennessee Titans. The NFL reinstating Patriots wide receiver Josh Gordon. All right, well, that's good news. You obviously hope for the best for Josh Gordon in terms of his personal life and battling his demons and his problems with substance abuse. He did, even if you're not like the biggest fan of Gordon or you think he's going to be a liability, again, given his past, he did give the Patriots 11 real solid weeks. Well, 10 solid 10. Weeks. That 11th one, Pittsburgh wasn't that great.
And Tennessee was not good. So 9. Yeah, 9 out of 11.
But 9 out of 11, and Lord knows they need the help. So that's good news. Adam Schefter, ESPN, just tweeting. The National Football League is reinstating Patriots wide receiver Josh Gordon. League source tells ESPN. Very good. I'm sure Adam Jones and Christian Arcand will have more on that coming up. Just about 30 minutes. Let me go back to Henry here in Alabama. Appreciate you waiting there, Henry. Henry, go ahead with the Red Sox wasting this season.
So, Devers has a breakout year. He was fantastic. Bogaerts finally lived up to the expectations you thought he was going to be. You finally had a good catcher. Vasquez improved. And you brought up Chavis, who had a great beginning, and he's the only reason why you aren't in last place with the Orioles right now.
That's fair.
Just a wasted season. And you didn't move Betts to get anything to help you next year, and you're going to be in the same spot next year unless you change something.
Yeah, and that's why Betts has to go in the offseason, at least in terms of your future and the pitching rotation and getting young pitching. Betts got to go. And you can now have your building blocks in terms of your offense, and you know you're going to get great production going forward from Bogaerts and Devers. Devers is the real deal. Bogaerts has now shown you in 2 straight years he's a foundational piece. Hell, even Alex Cora the other night, or the other day, ahead of, I think it was that third game, McCarthy, he referred to him literally as the leader of the team.
Yeah, he is.
So this is what we speculated. Now it's been confirmed from the manager. All right, we'll continue to take your calls, though, but in case you just missed it, big breaking news with the New England Patriots. Matt McCarthy's going to get you caught up here in the Sports Hub headlines, and we'll continue with the Baseball Reporters.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub. It's Jim Murray and Matt McCarthy in for the vacationing Tony Maserati tonight. You know, it's during the Celtics season, if you don't know, on Saturdays with Chris Gasper, myself and Chris Gasper do Gasper and Murray, but at noon during the Celtics season, we have the Sports Hub Celtics show. In fact, we do it up until basically after the NBA draft. My friend Keith has asked me before, he's like, "No, I tune in and he's like, I'm not the biggest Celtics fan." He's like, "Do you have to talk Celtics?" And I always tell him, yes. Yeah. And he's like, "Well, what if there's like a natural disaster or like, know, a dirty bomb goes off, God forbid, somewhere in Boston. Can't you talk about that? And I always tell him, no. It's the Sports Hub Celtics show. We have to talk Celtics. It doesn't matter if major news happens. Like has happened tonight. See, this is the baseball reporters. It's baseball. We can only give you the baseball. But there has been big news as it pertains to the Patriots. One more time, for those that might have missed it, Matt McCarthy.
That's right. Josh Gordon has been reinstated by the NFL. That news coming out a few minutes ago. We also do have a statement here from the NFL. Josh Gordon to be reinstated on conditional basis. Commissioner Roger Goodell notified Josh Gordon of the Patriots that he will be reinstated to the NFL on a conditional basis. Effective Sunday, Gordon may rejoin the Patriots to attend meetings and engage in conditioning work and individual workouts. Subject to appropriate progress on clinical care and other arrangements, he will be permitted to participate in team activities, including practice, because he will not have had sufficient conditioning and practice time. However, he may attend but may not play in the Patriots' Thursday, August 22nd preseason game.
Okay, so can't report till Sunday. Won't be able to play in next week's preseason game. Gordon will be good to go. Does not have to serve a suspension to start the regular season as well. So Josh Gordon will be back with the Patriots. Now, we give you the news, but in terms of opinion, no. We can't do that because it's the baseball reporters.
Jim, do you have an opinion on Josh Gordon?
I can't give it to you, Jimmy, because this is the baseball reporters.
No, he's facilitating. He's trying to get out.
I could have given you
the chair.
I could have given you a Josh Gordon opinion.
Hypothetically speaking, if we weren't within the baseball reporters, what would your opinion be?
I can't do that, Jimmy. It's the baseball reporters. You'll have to tune in tomorrow morning for a Gasperless Gasper Murray for me to give you my opinion on Josh Gordon, because the sports talk bylaws say, by the book, this is the baseball reporters. We must talk baseball with the people, and we will do just that. Hello, Jason in New Hampshire. You're next up on the baseball reporters. Hello.
Can't wait for Jones.
Well, I certainly hope I can up the ante of the Red Sox callers for you. Maybe not. But
go ahead.
Two quick things, and I am under 80. Two quick things. One, I more than I think you guys have done, I really hang this around Chris Sale. And I just see diminishing returns going forward. And I know it's ridiculous to think that you can trade him, but if he doesn't get off to a hell of a start next year, I would look at it. And the other question I had is, Rafael Devers, to me, is the reason to be watching this Red Sox team. I love Rafael Devers. My question is, you know, baseball is a game of adjustments, and 2 years ago he came on the scene. Last year he struggled. He's obviously made adjustments to have a monster year. But then could he turn out to be somebody who next year is back to 250, 16 home runs? You know what I mean? Is he here to stay at the level that he's been playing, or could he have another disappointing year?
Oh, I think what you're seeing is what you get with Devers. Now, the only thing I'd worry about him and the red flag to his game is his defense, but fine. Sure. If he's going to rake the way he's raked. What was he, 6-for-6 the other night against Cleveland?
Yeah.
And you were going up against good, you know, some of the better starters that Cleveland has with four doubles. I saw this tweet from John Tomasi of NBC Sports Boston as well. It's a great stat on Rafael Devers. It just talks about, like, you know, how good he's been and the sustainability. I don't think you get to worry about him going forward. So he leads the league with 43 doubles through 120 games. He's on pace for 57. If he gets that, it would tie him for 10th most in Major League history.
Hmm.
Like, that's the kind
pretty
of season he's had.
Yeah.
And in terms of Chris Sale, the Red Sox have ruined Chris Sale. I think, Jimmy, what was the stat you had earlier about the times between pitch for Chris Sale?
It's the most time between pitches in Chris Sale's career.
Get
and that's not his game.
Chris
Sale's game is get the ball, throw the ball.
Get the ball
so
and attack.
So the fact that they are sitting back and telling him, nope, take your time, get your velocity to max, that is not who he is. That is a nerd thing. That is bad. Fire all the nerds.
Right,
they've ruined
I agree.
Chris Sale.
I don't just fire them. Fire them into the sun.
Yeah, in fact, Sean in the car on this very thing. Hello, Sean.
Yeah, I'd like to know why nobody is blaming Dana Lavangi, the pitching coach. He's responsible for the bullpen. He's responsible for the starting staff not figuring out a way to get the guys out.
Yeah, Sean, he and the nerds. Like, so heads are going to have to roll on that end. I'm not going to be surprised if Lavangi's out even before the end of the season. They hate to see anyone's job, you know, anyone lose their job. But with this disappointing season and the way that they've approached it, Sale more than anything else. You got them looking at the hat, looking at the charts. That's not what he does. Like Jimmy said, get up there, get in the mound, take the ball, attack. That's Chris Sale's game. And you're going to change that?
So not only is it just Dana Lavangi, I think it's an organizational problem. Because in this day and age, Jim, it's not just the pitching coach and like that's it. Like this isn't the New York Mets firing the pitching coach, bringing in that 82-year-old guy who faced like Mickey Mantle and Hank Aaron and all those guys and just having him take over that staff and go and do his thing. with the Red Sox, it's not just Dana Lavangi. It's a guy like Brian Bannister, who I just got his title, by the way. Vice President of Pitching Development and Assistant Pitching Coach. He was promoted from being the Director of Pitching Analysis. It's the nerds. It's absolutely all the sabermetrics. It's the nerds. It's not just one guy in a room. It's 10 guys in a room, you know, crunching the data and looking at this and saying, no, this is how Chris Sale should pitch. So if you're going to fire the pitching coach, that's fine. Fire everybody a part of the pitching staff, too, because it's not just one guy.
Yeah, it's not just Lavangi. If he was to go, he would be the scapegoat. Like, they all got to go. And here's some numbers to back up how bad the Sox pitching has been this year and why they're, you know, they need to clean house in that area. So if the Red Sox aren't scoring six runs or more this year, they're pretty much guaranteed to lose the game. Yep. So looking at the Red Sox, the Rays, and the Indians, the wild card contenders, when they score five runs or less, the Indians are 32-43, win percentage of .428. The Rays are 32-47 with a .405 winning percentage. You want to guess what the Red Sox are when they don't score six runs or more?
.250.
Oh, so 15-51.
Oh,
so it's worse.
Oh, that's awful.
A winning percentage of .227. So
that
really shows you how bad the pitching has been for them this year.
It's everything that's wrong with this team, and that's why you can't buy in on this team, because eventually you're only as good as your next day's starter, or you know, and you're going to give up. You give up five or six runs, you're going to lose that game. That's just a fact.
We were talking about Mookie Betts earlier. Sounds like it's just a formality, at least to McCarthy and I, come this offseason. He's going to be traded, because now the Red Sox are using someone like Peter Gammons to do their bidding, to put it out there, unnamed Red Sox source, or a Red Sox official saying, hey, you know, we'd like him to be the face of the franchise. We've gone to him before, but you know, don't look at us when we end up having to trade him. John in the car on Betts. Hello.
Yeah, hi. I just want to know what the chances are if they trade Mookie and get what they need from him. And, then sign them in a free agency, kind of like the Yankees did with Chapman. I'll hang up. Thanks.
McCarthy, what do you think of the possibility of something like that happening?
The thought hasn't crossed my mind, because I don't think the Red Sox are all that interested in signing Mookie Betts, and I question whether he's interested in coming back here. You know, this isn't a John Lester situation where it feels like the Red Sox did have a legitimate chance to bring him back because he really wanted to be here. And if they had just ponied up the money that he deserved, he would have come back here even after they traded him to Oakland. I don't think we're looking at this situation with Mookie Betts. I would be shocked if that happened.
Andy in Dorchester, you're next here in the Baseball Reporters. Hey, Andy.
Hi, guys. Love the show. I wanted to talk about Ian Kinsler for some reason, but scratch that. I want to talk about how the Red Sox are terrible at developing pitchers. Wasn't it, didn't you say that they're like a lifespan of 10 years or something, that they just don't develop anyone, and then like some dude didn't even want to sign? So if you want a better future for the pitchers, because even when great pitchers come here, then they suck too. So that means the pitching coaches, all the way from single A to Pawtucket to the Red Sox, clean them out. We need them gone.
Thanks,
every
Andy.
Single one of them.
For those that missed your little nugget that you had on the Baseball Reporters earlier this week, and you had it on Felger and Maz today, Matt McCarthy, host of the Hardcore Baseball Podcast, 98.5sportshub.com. You should check it out. He had a little bit of a scoop in terms of you know, the future pitching prospects for the Red Sox, and maybe the fact they don't want nothing to do with this franchise. Go ahead, McCarthy.
Okay, so as we all know, you know, there are top high school pitching prospects across the country, and you know, they can go into the draft. They can either sign with the team that drafts them, or they can go off to college. And, you know, that's a good option for either one of these guys. It is my understanding that in recent years, because of the Red Sox, I guess, you know, the way they're perceived around the league, there was at least one high school pitcher who the Red Sox, you know, you do your work and you make sure that you approach guys, hey, you know, what's your signability like? There was at least one top high school pitcher somewhere that told the Red Sox, yeah, we won't sign with you because we do not think that you can develop pitching. And you know what?
That speaks volumes.
But the track record speaks for itself. And the caller wanted to talk about Ian Kinsler. You want another scoop?
Oh, you got more scoops.
You know the guy that went for Ian Kinsler? Ty Buttrey? It's my understanding there was divide in the organization on that.
In regard to...
Some people felt he was good. And obviously, they traded him.
Huh. Really? That's maybe one of the reasons that Dave Dombrowski will be out at the end of the year.
I wouldn't draw those lines. I certainly haven't heard that.
Oh, scoops but McCarthy over here.
There was divide.
But that really says something about the inability for this franchise to develop young pitching. Your reigning champion, 108-win Red Sox last year, a high schooler and his family, his people, Imagine that. A high school pitcher has his people. Tells the Red Sox, the reigning World Series champion Red Sox, nah, we want nothing to do with you.
We're good. Yeah, college seems like a great option. Thank you.
Oh, boy. So this is why, even though you have these questions about whether or not they can, you know, find homegrown talent in their own farm system when it comes to pitching, at least you need to replenish it. It's why Betts has to go. If Betts don't want to be here and you're going to lowball him anyway, Red Sox, then trade his ass this offseason, replenish that farm system, find some young pitching so you can develop someone. Because the last was who? Buchholz?
Yeah, Buchholz would be the last true starter they developed. I guess you could consider Masterson as well. Either way, it's been over a decade.
Ugh. We have one segment to go here in the Baseball Reporters. Again, we can't talk about if Josh Gordon played for, say, the Reds. We could talk about him, but he doesn't. He's back with the Patriots. That's breaking news. We'll give you the news.
Jim, Adam Jones will be in shortly for a crossover. I wonder what he'll be talking about coming up at 7 o'clock.
I'd imagine that Adam Jones and Christian Arcand, Knights here on the Sports Hub, will be discussing and getting in depth on Adam the return of Josh Gordon, reinstated. But that's just news. We can only give you the news. Opinion, no, because this is the Baseball Reporters. We can give you opinion on baseball, but that's it. So we got one segment to go coming up next here in 98.5 Sports Hub.
The show the Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Jim Murray and Matt McCarthy in for Maz tonight. And it's time for the Big Y matchup. Big matchup of the game presented by the Big Y World Class Market. Big Y serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years as the Red Sox welcome in the lowly Baltimore Orioles for the first of three. A lot of buzz surrounding this series.
And yeah, I'm fired up.
Over at Fenway Park, you got Rick Porcello on the mound against Aaron Brooks, righty for the Orioles. But the Big Y matchup is Xander Bogaerts specifically against tonight's starting pitch for the Orioles. That would be Aaron Brooks. More on him in a second. But Bogaerts, in his career against Brooks, he's 3-for-6. Obviously leads the Red Sox with 27 home runs, currently slugging .567. This Brooks, a bum. Mm-hmm. 0-for-3 with an earned run average hovering around just under 10. About 9.5, actually, 9.41 in 6 starts since he was claimed by Baltimore off waivers from Oakland. In his last start against the Houston Astros, he allowed 9 runs in 3 innings. So you have this bum against our bum, Rick Porcello, tonight. I would expect a 20-19 game. That'll last, oh, I don't know, 6.5 hours. So enjoy that tonight if you have game one, Red Sox-Orioles tonight at Fenway.
Didn't this Aaron Brooks, didn't he kind of shove it down the Red Sox throats that first series in Oakland this year? I'm fairly certain he did.
Yeah, I'll take your word on that, baseball boy.
6 innings, 2 hits, no earned runs. This bum.
Yeah.
And then he got lit up in essentially every single start after that and was cut by the A's.
Of course, not to be confused with former quarterback Aaron Brooks, he of the New Orleans Saints.
And Oakland Raiders.
Back when they used to be called.
Low ball, too.
The Aints.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.